Good morning, and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. Just call 716-433-1433.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Eric Cook, and I am your host for Ask the Pro this morning, which just happens to be the world's greatest outdoor show. And I am ever so privileged to have in studio with me your friend and mine, the Niagara County Sports Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Programs Director for Destination Niagara USA, your hero and mine, Mr. Frank Campbell. Good morning, Frank. How are you today?
Good morning, Eric. Thanks for that introduction. You made me seem very important.
Well, you're important to my world. I know that. I was, you know, and everybody at home just stood up and started clapping and dancing around their chairs. And they're all doing the woo-hoo thing.
Yeah, I believe it. I'd like to see the ratings on that, clap.
Well, you know, even if they're only in my mind, they're great. So, good morning, Frank. Today is, January 11th? And so I just want to keep that for the records for those who might be hitting the podcast later on if they missed the show. By the way, if you happen to miss any programming here on WLVL, just go to WLVL.com, hit the podcast button. A big long line will come down, and whatever program you missed, you just click on it, and poof, there you go. So tell me, there's a lot of things going on this time of year. I was really amazed to be reading up on things, and I was thinking, you know, middle of January, nothing's happening. That's a wrong answer. The DEC is doing all kinds of things. There's all kinds of fishing tournaments going on. Where would you like to start, Frank?
Yeah, I think... you know, well, let's pick a beginning and basically talk about a meeting that I was on with the DEC last night. And Steve Hurst was hosting it, who is the fisheries chief for the Department of Environmental Conservation Fisheries side. And just a side note, Steve's a great guy and a great asset and a great, you know, champion of the Western New York area and in particular Niagara County when it comes to fishing. Man, he's done us some big, you know, good stuff, and definitely a friend of the area. So,
all right, three cheers for Steve.
Yeah, exactly. But in this meeting, you know, what the DEC is trying to do is they're trying to do a little bit of cleanup, is the way Steve explained it. Basically, they've had regulations for years that are all over the board. They have specialized, specific regulations for certain areas, and One comment or some of the feedback that they got was, you know, the fact that it was tough to read. I mean, you know, you got a syllabus, you got online stuff, and it's just very confusing. A lot of different regulations, a lot of different rules for similar bodies of water, the same body of water, the same area. You know, it's different rules, regulations at different times of the year. So they're trying to make things a little bit more uniform and a little bit more user-friendly. So what they've been doing is they've been going through and putting out proposals for changes in season, regulations, limits, things of that nature. And at this point in time, they're looking for feedback. They're looking for comments by the public, the angling public, that, you know, they're in favor or they're against these changes. You know, and it's like anything else. If you don't voice your opinion by making a comment, then you really shouldn't have anything to say down the road. You know, you really want to take the time to, you know, go over these things and put your comments in. I was shocked last night that some of the things that they made changes on in the recent past, they received up to 18,000-19,000 comments on or you know, reactions from people. So it's pretty significant, and I was shocked. Absolutely shocked to realize that there was that many people. I mean, I know the angling segment of the population is growing, You know, and this is a perfect example. You know, when you get that many comments, I don't know if it's because there weren't as many State of the Lake meetings, things of that nature, where people couldn't voice their, you know, comments, opinions. So they're taking to the, you know, the avenues that the DEC has offered, and it's through their website. So if you want to make a comment on any of the changes, you have until February 6th to make comment at the website, which is dec.newyork.gov. Pretty simplistic. Go to the comments section and, you know, voice your opinion. Things that they're talking about include, you know, the opening of bass season, which is usually the third Saturday in June. They're looking at making it a standard June 15th. That way, in your mind, you know it's not going to be changed every year as far as the date. It's going to be June 15th. They're looking at things like walleye. I think it's walleye, pike, and one of the pickerel or something like that. You know, going to May 1st instead of the first Saturday in May. Musky season going from the last Saturday in May to the first Saturday in June. You know, things of that nature. They're talking about making some trout fishing in the ponds available year-round as opposed to, you know, closed seasons on them, but keeping the limits, you know, within check. So through their biology and through talking to different members of their staff, they've realized that, you know, you're not going to hurt the fish populations by doing this, and you're going to simplify things for people that are out of town, local anglers, whoever it may be. You know, I guess a good example of this would be everybody knows that the inland trout season starts April 1st. No matter if it's a Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, it's April 1st, and that's etched in your mind.
Right.
Well, the same thing is hopefully happening with their changeover to, you know, a date versus you know, a day of the week. So we're looking at changes like, again, bass season going to June 15th, the opening of walleye, which is traditionally the first Saturday in May, going to May 1st, and the start of musky season starting June 1st versus the last Saturday in May.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's I think it's a good thing.
Okay, could I clarify a couple of things with you, Frank? The website is DEC.NewYork. Now, is New York spelled out or is it NY?
It's NY.
It's NY. Okay, so it's DEC.NY.gov.
Yes.
And they have until February 6th to put their input in. And that leads me to my second question. There is an entity at the New York State government level that actually will listen to the public and value their input for the rules. To see how this is going to play out.
Exactly, Eric.
Isn't that something?
And again, I will give kudos to Steve.
Yeah.
Steve Hurst from the DEC. He has taken, you know, listening to the public to, you know, or listening to the anglers to a different level when it comes to dealing with the state government. And, you know, he's made changes that are, you know, that a lot of people are in favor of, or he'll listen to you. You know, he's very out there and very approachable, and, you know, it's made a big difference in the angling community as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. That's really nice that, you know, sometimes it's easy for people to get cynical about the government, and not all government is bad. We need government. I know my nephew works for the government, and, you know, there's certain things that just need to be done. And other things that they do value the input of the people. So it's really good.
Well, it's like Steve's told me, you know, he said, we have X amount of biologists, we have X amount of people on staff, and they can't be out there every day. You know, they're not out there like the angling public is, like the charter captains are. And, you know, you're telling us one thing, we're seeing a little something different. Let's find out the truth.
Right.
You know, rather than say, no, you're wrong.
Absolutely.
They say, okay, we're gonna look into that, you know, and that's something that Steve has done and, you know, continues to do. And it's not only Steve, it's the biologists, it's the, you know, everyone in the DEC has been phenomenal when it comes to that sort of stuff on the fisheries end of things. You know, it's been a very pleasant ride with Steve being in charge.
That's fantastic. really, really glad to hear that, to the government, so cooperations amongst the government even, too, because you're a county, their state, and national, right? So that's really, really good.
Sure. I think it's important.
Interagency communication is where it's at there. Yeah. So we're going to be joined by a guest here at 10:30. We've still got about 4 or 5 minutes before that. We had a few other things we wanted to cover. I don't know which one to go first. I guess I'll just let you decide which one you're going to go first on here.
Yeah, just one quick other note. You know, there are some regulation changes that are affecting us, and it's not on a statewide level. It's on the Lower Niagara River. It looks like the Lower Niagara River is going to go to 2 steelhead, which was proposed in the last round of changes. However, it wasn't implemented. It was an oversight. Steve admitted, hey, they make mistakes, and they did at this time. They overlooked the where everyone else went to 2 steelhead as far as harvesting. The Lower Niagara River was left out, and now it's actually a you know, a thing that looks like it's going to be implemented in our next round of changes. So look for the Lower Niagara River to change to 2 steelhead, which I think personally is a good thing. I mean, the more fish we put back, the more there is to catch. And you're seeing a lot more people that aren't harvesting. You're seeing a lot more catch and release. So it kind of fits into the mentality that's really out there these days. And that's, harvest less and catch more.
That's right. Yeah, that's really good. Now, what was the limit before? Was there a limit?
It was 3 a person, so it wasn't a giant change. There were some people that were pushing for 1. The limit used to be 3, and now, the DEC's compromised a little bit or looked at both ends and said, well, we're going to go to 2. And the nice thing is, with fishing, you always have the ability, or most of the time have the ability, to catch and release if you see fit. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you have to keep 2. It means right. You have the option to keep 2.
Sure.
So
if you're not going to eat it, put it back, right?
Exactly. You don't get a 20-pound fish by not letting go a 10-pound fish.
That's right.
And that's always been my motto. I mean, if people are going to keep a few for table fare and they enjoy them, great. I have no problem with it. It's taking fish to put in the freezer to, have to clean out those fish 7 months later because they're freezer burned. To make room for your new fish. And yeah. You don't like seeing that. If you're going to harvest something, you really need to take a look and say, this is what I'm going to eat, and keep it fresh and keep it, in good condition so that it's, good table fare.
Very good. Well, for those of you who may be just joining us, we are having the world's greatest outdoor show with our friend Frank Campbell here. He is the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara USA here on WLVL 1340 AM and 105.9 FM. Hey, the phone's ringing. Let's see if it's our friend Melissa. Good morning. You're on WLVL.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am well. Is this our friend Melissa Gerhardt?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm so happy to speak with you this morning. Well, you're on the line with Eric Cook and Frank Campbell, and I understand there's some really interesting things that we need to go over this morning, and I'm going to let you and Frank take the lead on that and see where we go.
Good morning, Melissa.
All right, thank you so much.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing okay. I got a good, nice warm seat in the studio as compared to outside, so it's all good.
Yeah, indoors is key today with the temperature in the single digits.
Yeah, so in case people haven't been, following things that are going on locally, Melissa is with the Niagara Falls Convention Center. I believe it's the new name that's going to be put on the what used to be the old Conference and Event Center of Niagara Falls. But basically, Melissa is one of the people that, is on the team to put on the Fishing and Outdoor Expo that's held in downtown Niagara Falls every winter. And Melissa, as Bill Hiltz has put in the paper and a lot of people have seen on social media, we have bad news in the fact that we had to, cancel this year's show. And, I'm just looking for a little bit of input as to, reasoning behind it and what people can do to that have purchased tickets or, maybe purchased walleye school passes, you know, how they go about getting a refund.
Oh, absolutely. And first of all, let me say that it was an extremely difficult decision on our part. This is an event that is a home-built event that the Conference and Event Center, along with, you know, people like Joe Yeager and Bill Hiltz and Frank Campbell, have built this show out over the last 6 or 7 years to being one of the great shows on the Great Lakes, and with a very vast education program, and it involved so many exhibitors and speakers and attendees and staff. And the number one priority for us was just the health and safety of all of those individuals. And based on the COVID numbers that are in the Erie and Niagara region right now, it would have been extremely difficult for us to try to pull this show off without knowing, you know, speakers that may or may not be able to come in, attendees, exhibitors. Because certainly if people are paying to come into the area, staying at hotels, you know, eating at restaurants, you know, we want them to get value for their dollar spent. And that wasn't something that we were 100% sure of based on all of those circumstances. So we did move forward with canceling the show and initially tried to find a date later in the year in March or April, but it just did not work out for a lot of the attendees that we spoke to about it. So we have rescheduled the event for February 16th to the 19th of 2023, and that will give us, you know, another year to work on the show and make it even better. So that's one thing we are excited about. We have reached out for anyone who has bought any kind of tickets, whether they're admission tickets or seminars or some of the bigger classes like the Salmon School and the Walleye. We have been advised through LHTSA that all of the Salmon School attendees have been reimbursed. And for all the tickets that were sold for our building, which were done through brown paper tickets, we have also received confirmation from them that everyone is going to get a full reimbursement. And if they have not received that as of yet, that is something that will be coming shortly. So we just want to ensure that everyone gets back any monies that they had put out to attend events here at the building as our starting point with the cancellation.
Yeah, and I think your whole objective was to make people that, you know, thought ahead and got these tickets or purchased tickets ahead of time. You want to make them 100% whole, if I'm correct on that thought.
Absolutely. I mean, it's our number one priority. These are people who have invested a lot of time and energy leading up to the show. You know, it, some people don't realize, like an exhibitor, what they do in preparation of a show in the months and months in advance of buying and allocating to prepare for something like this, as well as people that are traveling in from out of town. And our numbers have shown in the past that we do draw a large number of people from outside the Niagara Erie region. And we want to continue to do that moving forward. And so it's very important to us that people have a positive attitude, even in regards to cancellation.
Yeah, and I think one important point that people need to realize is, you know, a lot of people in the area or a lot of people that I talk to have viewed the show as a top shelf show. So, you know, it was a step above everything else with everything that they offered at the educational aspect of it, and also the ability to go in there after you sat through a seminar, go in there and buy the stuff that they just talked about. So, you know, I don't think that with the state of the world as it is today, we could offer that type of product. You know, just too many unknowns, and I think that it was the smart decision in the long run for everybody to, decide to hold off this year and come back and make sure that we have a top-shelf show again next year. I mean, we couldn't guarantee that we were going to have all the speakers, and we couldn't guarantee that we were going to have all the vendors. So, you know, people, we didn't want to send people into something that wasn't, you know, fitting of what it's been in the past years.
Right. And as you say, Frank, it's always extremely difficult. I mean, our entire downtown community looks forward to this event. We normally will sell out three hotels, all of the restaurants, brick and orders, will have it circled on their calendars to have an extra staff available to accommodate our guests. They love to go to the casino and enjoy the services over there. And so from that respect, you know, this was something in the off season that has grown over the years and has really become a community event. Everyone will be very excited and looking forward to February 16th to the 19th of 2023.
Yeah, and I can say, being behind the scenes and knowing what was going on, people were going to be really, really, really impressed with all the, you know, the educational opportunities that were offered and some of the new vendors and, you know, what the old vendors were bringing in. But just think that next year is going to be, I don't know if it can be bigger and better, but it can definitely be, you know, just as good as it was in, you know, in planning for this year's event. I think that people are really going to be pleasantly surprised at the offerings and, you know, the opportunities. I've always said if you educate yourself as a fisherman, you're going to be a better fisherman. So, you know, it might be not something you use right now, but something you use in the summer to, you know, to make yourself a better angler and, you know, be able to enjoy catching more fish.
Yes, and we did a lot of experimenting with ways to get the word out this year. You know, we had very successful monthly newsletters that talked about the different species and what our natural resources are in this area and what we have to offer. And anyone can request to get that newsletter. You can just reach out to us on our Facebook page. But, you know, we will continue to have the newsletters coming out, just updating everyone on the next steps. We had huge growth in our fly fishing species segment. We had huge growth with our bass and walleye, actually offering a walleye school similar to the one we had done in the past with the salmon school. And Joe Yeager, one of our show managers, did just an incredible job, you know, building all of this programming. And so, again, it's very disappointing that we weren't able to roll that out to all of our fishermen this year. But we certainly plan on carrying a lot of that over into 23 and focusing on, you know, those subjects as well as, you know, we had a great kids program on the slate for Sunday, working with some of our resources through the DEC and such. So, we're excited to have this extra time now to work on 23 and roll out just a tremendous program for everyone then.
Yeah, and you know, it's not – you got a little groundwork laid for the 2023 show, but it's still a lot of work coming up. And, you know, I give kudos to, you know, you and the rest of the staff over there with all the hard work that you've done. And, you know, yes, it's you know, it's disheartening not to be able to, you know, follow through and see everything to, you know, full fruition. But it's, you know, I think it was the right decision. I mean, I'm looking around knowing that, you know, I go and do some promoting at some of the other shows, knowing that I've already heard Suffer in New York just canceled their show yesterday. There's some shows in the Cape Cod and Massachusetts area that have canceled. So I think the handwriting was on the wall, and you know, being able to step away when we did, I think was the right move. And you know, it's maybe stopped the presenters or lecturers or educators, you know, from putting in a little bit extra work that they would have been really pushing to, you know, meet the show timeline with. So.
Yeah, I agree with you, Frank. I mean, we really did everything based on just the utmost respect for all of our attendees, our exhibitors, our speakers. We felt as though we made a decision in a timely enough fashion that would keep them from getting into any other unrecoverable expenses. So that was really one of our biggest goals. And it's always difficult to walk away, especially in a situation like this. And so all we can do at this point is just really direct ourselves towards 2023 and work on putting out our best show ever.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. I think 2023 is going to be a show not to miss. You know, hopefully we're over all this craziness, COVID craziness that's going on in the world. And, you know, it's really a shame that, you know, people have put in all the effort, like you said, you know, the educators, the vendors to get ready for the show. But I think ultimately, you know, the handwriting was on the wall with rising numbers and, you know, not knowing what type of mandates were going to come down to, you know, at that point, walk away and just concentrate on next year. You know, I don't.
And it's exciting time to be talking about the fishing industry. I mean, it's one of the industries that has completely benefited from COVID, in that it was something, I mean, in all of the exhibitors that we were talking to, you know, their stock had all been cleaned out during COVID because it was one of the things that people could do. Families could still go out and enjoy fishing, enjoy their outdoor time. And so it was in talking with even some of the manufacturers, it was a very lucrative time for them over the last 2 years. So, you know, they're in a position now where, you know, they have some resources they didn't have before. This isn't an industry, you know, that took a hard hit during COVID. So they're excited and wanting to get back on the show floors, talking with their clients, talking with people about how they can better utilize the resources, even our wonderful local resources, and getting the proper equipment and everything. So it's a very exciting time for the fishing industry. We just have to wait to kind of work our way through the first part of this year.
Yeah, and you know, as you said, the fishing industry or the outdoor industry as a whole, you know, is really, I'm not going to say benefited, but they didn't fare too bad through this whole COVID thing, other than the fact that they had some supply issues here or there. You know, but if you really think about it, where else would you rather be at this time, you know, with all the COVID, than stepping outdoors, which is considered probably the safest area you could be. So it kind of, you know, lends to, you know, what's going or what we're promoting or what the, you know, the outdoor industry is all about.
Absolutely. And that's how, you know, how we got started in this in the first place. Frank and I were actually just having this conversation a few days ago that, you know, originally started as just a way for us to showcase the amazing resources that we have in Western New York. And so it was a perfect fit for us to be working in this field of to be showcasing this fishing show here in Niagara Falls. So it's a huge resource for us. It's a multi-million dollar industry for Western New York, and our ability to be able to showcase that as part of our show is amazing.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you that, you know, when you put something together that's actually, you know, a unique thing, or, you know, a thing that a lot of people are, you know, realizing is fun to do, that you're going to get the people, as they say, build it and they will come. And that's essentially what we've done here in Niagara County. And, you know, the show did a great job of, you know, showcasing what we have to offer. And not only in Niagara County, but in the whole fishing industry. And that's, you know, a big loss to all the anglers of Western New York in, you know, the cancellation, but definitely, you know, totally understandable on from everyone that I talked to, and the feedback that I've gotten is, you know, it was the right decision. Disappointed, but, you know, let's play it safe and we'll look forward to next year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if people are still needing information or looking, has questions, concerns, anything like that, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you or the show show promoters?
Certainly, they can always reach out to us on our Facebook page, because I do check those regularly to answer any questions that people may have, and it's under Greater Niagara Fishing and Outdoor Expo. We have already put the new rescheduled date up on that website. And, you know, feel free to reach out with any questions that you may have. Also, if you go to our website, which is NiagaraFishingExpo.com, there is an information tab that you can, under Contact Us at the top, there is a link that you can put in your information and then just send out That comes to me directly, and I respond to those usually within 48 hours. So those are two resources that you have to reach out to us if you have any questions at all. And then certainly feel free to reference our website, NiagaraFishingExpo.com, as we move forward, because you will see the building out of the program for 23, and we can get excited about the opportunity to utilize a lot of what has been built for 22 then.
Yeah, I mean, just because it's a year away doesn't mean that it's going away. You know, it's basically the work starts now for next year. And just like the show had already, you know, gone on, and we were the week after, we're starting to work on next year's show. And that's essentially what's going to happen now. So don't be afraid to look at the website, the Facebook page for updates on everything from, you know, new presenters to, you know, different things that are going to happen for 2023 to, you know, I know that we had a big Bassmaster Classic visit, or, you know, basically a contest to get yourself to the Bassmaster Classic, which included, you know, VIP everything. You know, we're still going to do something with that. So, you know, keep in touch with the website and the Facebook page and find out more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Frank said, feel free to like us on Facebook, and also, you know, you can use Facebook as another source of information. So, you know, feel free to reach out to me on Facebook and give me your email address. I'll add you to our monthly newsletters. Now, we do them monthly as we approach the show. I think we started doing them monthly around June or July. So there may be a little bit of a gap now before the first one comes out. But, you know, if you're interested in getting that information, feel free to give me your email address and I'll add you to our list.
That's all great information, Melissa. Thank you very much for your time. And the update on the show, as I said right along, you know, I believe that it's the right decision. It's not the decision that we wanted or the, you know, outcome that we wanted. But I think in, you know, keeping everyone as safe as possible, it was definitely, you know, the right way to play the scenario that was put forth. So.
Well, it was a pleasure speaking with you, and everybody mark your calendars February 16th to the 19th for 2023. We'll look forward to seeing you then.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. Have a good day.
You do the same. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Boy, she's quite knowledgeable. Boy, I feel so bad that you and Joe Yeager, Melissa Gearhart, and, of course, you, Frank Campbell, have put so much effort into this. Just to refresh my memory, when this is a go, this is an international show, right? You've got people from all over the place coming in. How many do they come from all over the United States, all over Canada? Where
else? You basically have a pretty big mix of people coming from. It's funny because we looked into things, and, you know, a decent portion of the visitors that come or the attendees to the show are not from the Western New York area. So
right.
What they do is they like to travel in because they offer the unique opportunity to come here. And I think there's over 200 seminars. So they'll sit in, and the average person that comes to the show sits in on 7 seminars. So they plan out their day as to how they're going to manage to get to all these seminars. And a lot of people will come and spend multiple days. They buy the 4-day pass or the 3-day pass. It's a good value, and it also offers you the opportunity to get to all these different seminars. So you could basically set your schedule to be at a seminar Friday afternoon, Saturday morning, Saturday mid-morning, Saturday late morning, and acquire knowledge that could take you years and years to you know, acquire on the water, you know.
Sure.
Trying to do it yourself. So yeah, it's we've got a big mix of people coming, and it's probably for good reason. There's a lot of different genres of fishing that are represented in, you know, the educational program and the manufacturers that are present.
Sure. And let me reiterate, too, that if folks have any questions, there is an information button. If you just go to www.NiagaraFishingExpo.com, that's NiagaraFishingExpo.com, where there's going to be a lot more information as far as the cancellation and what to look forward to for next year, of course, too. It's not all doom and gloom. Or they could go to Melissa's Facebook page, which is also the Greater Niagara Fishing Expo on Facebook. You can leave her email address there, and she'll put you on the list. So the lines of communication are certainly open, and we're grateful for that. Now, let me ask you, Frank, is there any smaller events that are going to be going on that would be more of locally central that folks can get in on that, not instead of, but in lieu of the big one, just to keep people learning and maybe give the some of the manufacturers a chance to show their wares and give some classes? Anything like that in the books for this year?
Yeah, actually, the South Towns Walleye Association has an outfitters fair date. But it was scheduled for, I believe, January 15th, which is coming up. It's been postponed to the date of February 19th due to, you know, COVID protocol and everything. I mean, that's essentially what we are going to do with our show. I think you're going to see a lot of it. But it's an opportunity to get in there and meet some different outfitters and, you know, possibly plan a trip, you know, probably some used equipment being sold. That's one opportunity. There's also several fishing contests going on right now. And fishing contests are, there's the New York State Winter Fishing Classic, which is www.nyswinterclassic.com. And what that offers is it offers a virtual fishing tournament. And what I mean by virtual is they're using an app. So I think they use the Fish Donkey app, and they actually measure fish in through the app and, you know, put it forward to the people that are in charge. And, you know, they say yes or no to the fish. And, you know, it's an easy way to not have to get off the ice or off the open water to put some fish in that contest. Also, Captain Bob's has his winter fishing derby, and that goes – from, I believe it starts January 9th and goes to March 15th. And that's Captain Bob's. I believe it's in Clarence. And there's several eligible fish categories, including walleye, northern pike, perch, steelhead, brown trout, crappie, sunfish / bluegill, and rudd. There's a $20 entry fee, and, you know, that money's paid back. Opportunity to get out there. There's also a virtual ice fishing tournament put on by Clam, and that's nationwide, and I believe it's set for January 15th and 16th, and any hard water in North America or Canada. It's, again, a virtual tournament, and I believe you got to go to their website to sign up. You know, it's pretty neat opportunity to, you know, get out there and get fishing. That happens to be a hard water tournament. I believe the other two are open water or hard water, and one thing that I'd like to caution people on and let them know is the fact that you know, it's cold outside, the local waterways are making ice, but put safety first. You know, there's no fish or no amount of money that's worth risking, you know, life and limb to get out there and making someone come out and attempt to rescue you, you know, by going out there on unsafe ice. So make sure that ice is thick enough before you get out there. I know everyone's itchy. It's been a while since ice fishing's been able. I would look at the smaller ponds and lakes at this point in time and then work your way out to the bigger water. And again, look for people being out there. You want to make sure that you have some type of flotation device on, because when you hit that water, it's a big shock to your system, and a lot of time people freeze up. You know, a float suit or, you know, a float jacket or even just a plain life jacket will do wonders, keeping you up and letting you gain your composure. Also, I would recommend having ice picks with you. Ice picks are, you know, basically, for a lack of better way to explain it, are nails driven, you know, out of a piece of wood that enable you to claw your way out of a ice hole if it happens to collapse on you. So, you know, take advantage of the opportunities, but also be safe in doing such.
Sure. Is there a safety course on your website that reviews all these things for somebody that might be coming up from Texas that doesn't have any idea what ice fishing is all about? Can we go to your Niagara Fishing? What's the website that would be best for them to go to?
You know, I would look on something like a Clam website or something. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a big presence in the ice fishing world, and I'm sure that there's videos on YouTube, mm-hmm. You know, that offer ice safety and things like that, you know, things that I probably don't think of. But, you know, if you look at the those videos, they're going to tell you, you know, what you need as far as safety gear. And, you know, one thing, like, as always, whenever you're going out fishing, you know, I always want to try to fish with a buddy or fish with a fishing partner just because it offers you the opportunity for someone to call for help if something does go wrong.
Absolutely. You'd never want to go alone out in, the water, would you?
No.
That would just be imprudent, as the case may be. Well, geez, we still have a couple of minutes left here. Do you want to bring up anything new, or do you want to do a quick review with what's going on with the DEC and what's going on with the Fishing Expo?
Let's touch on a little bit more of the DEC. I mean,
okay.
You know, I've really said that they've done a lot of things positive, and you know, 100%. You know, I'm in belief of that. A couple things that are cool that are going on are, you know, they're going to revisit the stocking program that they have, and for the positive. Basically, when they cut stocking because of, you know, their thought that prey fish numbers were down, they cut down stocking pretty significantly. Well, they're finding through, you know, their research that bait fish numbers are up, alewife numbers are up, one-year-old fish are, you know, at almost an all-time high, and there's a good year class of 4 to 5 year old alewives. So they're actually looking at bringing those stocking numbers back up with Chinook salmon. So, you know, it really, really, you know, really, really gives you hope that, they're listening and they're doing things, that the stocking cuts weren't permanent. I mean, are they great? It expands in stocking? No. There are 50,000 fish for Lake Ontario in the form of Chinook salmon. The nice thing is they're going to pen rear all these fish. By pen rearing fish, they actually get about a 2 to 3 to 1 survival on direct stocked fish. So those 50,000 fish are really worth 100,000 direct stocked fish. So it's significant. You know, and it'll help get some of the stocking sites that were caught a little bit deeper back up to numbers that we consider to be at least workable numbers. So, you know, it looks like New York State's going to look at a couple different options as to where to stock them. We're also knowing that Canada's bringing up their stocking of Chinook salmon by 50,000. And to me, that's a pretty much a, you know, a goodwill gesture on their part, due to the fact that, you know, they didn't go back on their word. They didn't say these stocking cuts aren't permanent. You know, you have a tendency to be, you know, not in 100%, you know, believing state of what they're saying all the time when it comes to the government. But they came through, so, you know, it's a good thing, and it's a good thing for the area. And, you know, again, I'll praise Steve Hurst for the fact that, you know, he was a man of his word, and they revisited things, and you know, we're getting more fish stock. So those are the type of positive things that are going on at the DEC.
Very good. And, of course, they are welcoming your input from now until February 6th. All you have to do is go to their website, which is dec.ny.gov. And Steve Hurst reads each and every one of them, doesn't he?
Or maybe.
Somebody does, right?
Somebody does. I mean, I will say that because they are definitely swayed by what the public public opinion is, or public, you know, what basically the public is putting out there as far as their thoughts.
Sure. Well, you've been listening to the world's greatest outdoor show with Frank Campbell and myself, Eric Cook. Frank is the Niagara County Sports Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara USA. And Frank, I would like to thank you for your time this morning. And I hope you'll come back and see us again, what, in about a month or so, or a couple of weeks? Which one are we going to do?
At some point.
Okay, we'll come back at some point in time. All right, folks. Well, listen, thanks an awful lot for listening to us this morning. I hope you enjoyed yourself as much as we did. And you'll be listening to us soon again here on WLVL 1340 AM, 105.3 FM, and at WLVL.com. Stay tuned for Fox News at 11 o'clock, followed by the DJV show. And after that, you know the deal. We'll talk to you soon, folks.